Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded, and at this time for introductions, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ms. Jennifer Chen. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Tracy, and welcome to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. We apologize for the technical difficulties with the same time e-meeting room right now, and we are unable to share the presentation. However, if you go on to WebSphere Support Techno Exchange site by clicking View Presentation link or by going to any IBM.com site and typing in 700-7676, this will lead you to the presentation and PDF file, and this way everyone can view the presentation. So my name is Jennifer Chen, and I will be the moderator for this call. This call is being recorded, and within the 24 to 48 hours, an MPC file and presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. You may replay it at your convenience. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting or cannot view the e-meeting, please just go to the View Presentation link and open up the PDF file attached. Today's presenter is Ron Allen. Ron Allen has been a member of the WebSphere Service Abilities SWAT team for the last 2 years. His job centers on resolving customer critical situations in the enterprise. Prior to joining the SWAT team, Ron was the lead designer and developer for IBM's Partner World for Developers Content Management and Delivery site. He started with IBM 7 years ago as an architect and developer for Tavoline Systems. Today's topic is securing a J2E web service, but it's also a topic how to set up SOAP security and authentication, including creating self-signed certificates in WebSphere Application Server version 6.0. These two topics are essentially the same, just one is more descriptive than the other one. The webcasts will include the PowerPoint presentation, which is online in the PDF format. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask the attendees to answer a few quick questions via e-meeting polling, if the e-meeting will allow me to do that. After that, the lines will open for a question and answer period. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Ron Allen.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good morning. I do apologize for the technical difficulties. Once again, if you haven't got the presentation open, there's the View Presentation link on the IBM support page as you come in for the dial-in information. And I'll give you a minute to get that down and opened. It's not a very large presentation, and everything that is in the presentation is in this document. There's no demo or anything like that. So this presentation, you know, the other thing I have to apologize for is the lengthy title of this presentation, and originally it was much more much shorter, but it didn't really talk about what the presentation focused on, and you know, there's a lot of presentation information out there about SOAP security and web services security. In particular, this came about because of a real-world situation I was in where we were trying to determine information about doing authentication with and without security enabled in using web services. And in particular, at one point, it was necessary to set up a self-signed certificate for the test environment. This turned out to be somewhat more involved than expected, and doing it the first time is a little daunting. After that, it's quite easy to do, and it's a good skill to have because it may come up, and it makes it much easier in a test environment or on a laptop or whatever to run a quick SSL test in your web services. So I'm right now on the title slide, and I'm going to move on to slide one. So I'm at slide one, and we're going to talk about the agenda. And first of all, get a general overview, talk about the three tenets that make up web services security and SOAP in particular, those being integrity, confidentiality, and authentication. We'll talk a little bit about the big picture and, you know, where web services are, where they were meant to be, and what the reality of them is. Then the components of web services. And then I'd like to go into something a little more practical, and that's the actual steps that you would go through to secure a web J2E web service in particular to implant authentication into the SOAP document itself. Regardless of whether you use an SSL or not, you can run this in as clear text with authentication credentials. So that relationship I'll talk a little bit about later on, because web services do give you confidentiality along with authentication without using something like SSL. And then we're going to put it all together. There's a few references that I found very helpful. And if we have time at the end, we'll go through some questions. Okay, so I've moved on to slide number 3, integrity, confidentiality, and authentication. So, you know, what do these mean? These are the three main points that we're going to talk about. So at a message level, we're talking about integrity, confidentiality, and authentication. And these are supported by SOAP extensions. So when we talk about message level, we're actually talking about these three tenets being implemented into the SOAP document itself. So regardless of the transport or anything else, the SOAP document has the facilities through extensions to accommodate these three points of security. So when we talk about integrity, we can do this using the XML digital signature technology. Confidentiality can encrypt the SOAP message itself so nobody can read it. And authentication, just like a basic auth header, you can put username and password right into the SOAP document itself. So when you're setting up a secure web service, you want to keep in mind these three facilities and how you might best use them in your situation. So what about integrity? Well, XML digital signature, this is a message level integrity facility. The same thing can be accomplished using client-side certificates. So in general, you know, if I'm talking about a server-side certificate, that certificate tells a client that the server is who they say they are. Well, if I'm coming from the other side, a client-side certificate says to the server, the client that is talking to me is who they say they are. And, you know, you would want to use something like client-side search inside of an enterprise where you only wanted, you know, a finite number of clients actually communicating with you and asking for information. So you can see how these are useful given the context of what you're trying to accomplish. I think we're all more familiar with server-side certificates than client-side certificates, and anyone that set up a client-side cert will tell you it's just a little bit tougher. There's a few things to do in setting that up. So now I'm moving on to slide 4. This is the big picture, and so what we're talking about in this presentation today is a web services client, be it a thick Java client, a native client, or a web browser, and the communication that it will have with the web service on the server. So, you know, in web services, we are talking about SOAP requests and response messages. And in the header is where we would put the username token, as well as a lot of the encryption keys and things like that if we were doing XML encryption or digital signatures. One thing you'll notice about these SOAP messages, and I encourage you, if you have WebSphere application developer, or one of those tools that will generate web services, is to go through the practice of generating these all three of these types of SOAP documents, because you'll get an idea of what you're looking at. So to send a simple SOAP message, if you are using XML encryption or digital signatures, this becomes quite a large document. So if you're sending a small amount of information, there's the trade-off. You have this quite, you know, what I call a really fat message just to do a little bit of communication. So, you know, you have to weigh all these things as to what method you want to use in your given environment. The good news is there's a lot of optimizations now coming through in hardware and software that help this. Okay, so I'm moving on to slide 5 now. Web services components. So web services, I don't know if you've all, you know, and I should have put the picture on here. You've seen the triangle, the publish, discover, and bind. So if the original architecture for a web service was, I'm going to write some service, and I'm going to publish that service, and anybody can come along and bind to that service, and through the description using WSDL, WSDL, that I put in the UDDI registry, you're going to be able to talk to me. And that's the architecture. So when we talk about a web service, this is an enterprise application capable of understanding SOAP messages, a particular type of SOAP message. So, and the web client is capable of sending these SOAP messages. What I've written down here, you know, web services are technology agnostic, and you can see them using J2E.net, any other technology. Typically, I've seen J2E and .NET, and I've seen those two technologies interact. So I haven't seen too many other technologies used to implement web services at this point, and if others have, I appreciate the feedback on that. Okay, so now we're going to go through the steps of securing a J2E web service, and this focus obviously is on WebSphere and how you would do that in WebSphere, and the WebSphere platform is incredibly rich for doing this. There's really great facilities for doing web services in WebSphere. Okay, now I'm going on to slide 7. And the first thing you're going to want to do is to create a server-side certificate with iKeyMan. Now, iKeyMan is shipped with WebSphere, and it's in the bin directory of the WebSphere installation. And, you know, with WebSphere 6 and the profiles and the directory hierarchy, you're actually going to find it in multiple places. And this is not to be confused with the iKeyMan that's also available for IHS. It's capable of making different types of certificates. So I'm talking specifically about the iKeyMan that ships with WebSphere, and that's what I use during this practice of making these server-side certificates. So if you go through your WebSphere install root, under App Server, there's a bin directory, and there's an iKeyMan bat contained within there. And double-clicking on that, or an iKeyMan shell, depending on the platform you're on, double-clicking on that is going to start up the iKeyMan interface that I have pictured here in slide number 7. What you do is you create a key database file, and then you generate a self-signed certificate, and insert that self-signed certificate into the key database file. And that's quite easy. It's just a couple of steps to it, and then you have your own self-signed certificate. So I'm moving on to slide 8 now. Now, the thing is that both the client and the server have to locate this certificate during runtime. You can put them pretty much anywhere you want, because you're going to have to explicitly tell the client and the server where to get these. Now, if you're not using self-signed certificates, this will work out of the box, and the reason that it does is because, you know, we have a set of trusted authorities now that, you know, be it VeriSign or SWAT or any of these other trusted authorities that ship with the JVM. So if you're going to use a trusted authority, you don't have to set all this mechanism up. But it's not because it's, you know, it's anything different. It's just that it's been pre-configured to trust a certain set of signing authorities. So what we're doing now is we're telling the client and the server about another signing authority, and that signing authority is yourself, basically, as you make one of these self-signed certificates. So in the picture on slide 8, I place this JKS file into the WebSphere install root into the App Server directory, but it could go anywhere. It's just a matter of making sure that the client and server, obviously you have to place one at the client, one on the server if you're on two different boxes, which you're probably going to be. And so if there is, you know, you have to use FTP or something like that to get it over there. Okay, so now I'm moving on to slide 9. So here's the meat of what it means to load up a self-signed certificate. This is showing how it's done in some Java code. And basically what it is there's several ways to do this. You can also, there's the property files that are part of this security, the security profile that's part of the JVM. I chose to do it this way programmatically. essentially what's happening here is there's some environment properties that are being set with values that are going to be loaded into memory at runtime so that the client understands where the certificate is and how to access it, what the password is for accessing it. What happens at that point then is that if you look, there's a blue line in the middle of this slide which is separating two different code snippets. So the stuff on the top is a static collapse that just gets loaded once so that it's available in the environment. On the bottom, I've used the Jakarta Commons HTTP client. I don't know if you're familiar with this. This is freely available to download from the Apache Jakarta group. And this is quite a full-featured HTTP client. And right out of the box, if you're not using self-signed certificates, it will use the facilities that ship with the JVM, the trusted authority. And you can talk SSL with this without having to do the static load of the certificate and all the rest of it, because that information is already defined for us in the environment. So, you know, what I've done here is I've basically reset that and said, I want you to use this signing authority, this certificate, this password. And so if you look at this client down here, the first line, the HTTP client, create a new client, and we have to tell it that we're going to use HTTPS, and we have to assign a protocol socket factory to it. The examples, you get one of these in the examples. This I didn't write myself, the Easy SSL protocol socket factory. So this is available to use. And so you let it know which socket factory you're going to use, which scheme, and which port you're going to communicate on. Once that's set up, if you notice the line string XML file name equals, this is the SOAP document that I'm sending. So I'm basically, hello, is somebody asking a question? I can hear some. Okay. So this is the XML document. This is actually the SOAP document that's going to be sent to the server. And included in the SOAP document are a username and password. And the next part of this is the URL. So it's the relative URI. And we set all that stuff to set the host with the host we're going to. In this case, it was on my local machine, the port, and then the protocol that I created as HTTPS. And once you've done that, you can now, using a self-signed certificate, talk SSL to your server. Okay, on the server side, the first thing you do is you want to enable global security. So if we're enabling global security using the local OS, you have to go down into the local OS and give it a user, a server username. So let's say, you know, you have your Windows box and you've got Joe is set up as a user, so you could tell, you know, in my local OS, this user Joe, I want to be able to authenticate with my server using Joe. In the authentication mechanisms, using LTPA, go in and generate a key set. And then at the end of all that, enable global security and click apply. There's another operation, and that's to set the actual console users and give them rights. So Joe doesn't have any rights in this system right now. So in the WebSphere menu, down in the system administration, you click on console users and you can make Joe an operator, configurator, a monitor, whatever, administrator. And now, so when Joe logs in to the system with global security enabled, he has those authorizations that you've set in the console users part of WebSphere. Okay, I am going on to slide 11 now. That was slide 10. I don't think I mentioned the slide number in the last couple of slides. My apologies. So we're going on to slide 11 now. So here comes the meat of what it means to be able to talk with a self-signed certificate to the application server. First thing we have to do is create a new SSL repertoire. And it's a Jesse repertoire. So you see in slide 11, I have a circle around the alias. You're going to give it some name, and that name is arbitrary. Obviously, you want it to be unique. Other than that, it's an IBM Jesse 2 provider that you want to select. And then down, here's the part where we're telling the server where the file is and what the name of that and the password for that file. So down at the bottom, the red box is circled around key files. So in this case, flipping back to, so I defined it under the app server as rans2.jks. So in that box, I would give it the full path to that file. And then the password for it is change it. In this case, change it is just historical. I don't know if it's still the case, but a lot of default keys used to ship with the password change it, which was, you know, obviously telling you to change it to something that's hidden. You may, how many you come across that are still called change it. But what's not pictured in this slide, because the slide wasn't big enough to contain it, but it's the trust file name. Now, the trust file and the key file can be the exact same file. So down in the trust file part, you're also going to want to put the full path to the same file and the password. So now, on this side, the SSL repertoire can find the actual key file, and it has a password to open both the key and the trust file, which are the same file. So now moving on to slide 12. This is the part that I'm going to give you a reference to a URL that this is how I figured out how to do this. You know, somebody else explained it very well. This is the part that wasn't clear, and it's kind of interesting. What you have to do now is you have to create a web container transport chain that's bound to that virtual host port and is specific to the self-signed certificate. So in this case, WC inbound default secure is the name of it. And what's really important is the next red circle, SSL inbound channel SSL2. That's very important. The transport channel has to be assigned that type. The rest of it is pretty much you can take the defaults. Now, I've done it both ways. This is a built-in transport chain that I used that was assigned to the virtual, or that I used the same virtual host for. But you can also create a brand new one and a brand new virtual host. The trick is that after you do that, if we go on to slide 13, after you do that, you have to go in and create that virtual host or that host alias for the virtual host that matches up to that transport chain. So if you look on slide 12, if you see host is stars, so that means, you know, any host, but in particular this one, and port is 9446, that's really important. So in your virtual host definition, you need an alias that is assigned to 9446. And this is your SSL transport channel that you're going to use for your server signs, your self-signed certificate. So now you save all that, and extremely important, you have to restart the application server so all of this stuff gets picked up. There's some operations you can do in WebSphere where you don't have to restart, but this is not one of them. You have to restart your application server to pick up this information. So going on to slide 14, putting it all together. So what we've done now is recap a little bit. So we created a client, and we created, in this case, it's a Java standalone client, and we have a SOAP XML document that has the authentication credentials in the document and some SOAP operation we want it to do. And we've told that client where to find the self-signed certificate, what the password is for that certificate. We've told it what port we're going to talk on, and given it a protocol factor that it can use to generate that connection. So now we've got that on the client side. Then we went over to the server side. We put in global security. We activated global security. Then we created a Jesse repertoire for this key. And then we specified a transport chain, a port, the same port that the client knows about on the server side. So now we have this. Now we have this connection between the client and server for the self-signed certificate across an SSL channel. Okay, so, and the first point here in slide 14, recycle the server, very important. Sit there wondering why it doesn't work, and that's why. Now you should be able to make secure requests to your web service using this client. And so the secure socket factory is going to use the certificate that was defined in that environment property when it's loaded into memory. And in this case, you know, we talked about XML encryption for a SOAP document, and we talked about a digital signature for the SOAP document, and the third being the username password authentication credentials. So this SOAP document, in this case, only uses one of those. It uses just the username and header. Now, if we wanted to make secure SOAP calls without setting up the SSL transport chain, we could have done that by using XML encryption on the SOAP document itself, and then no one could read that SOAP document. They would need to have the private and public key to decrypt it. Okay, so now it just works like clear text SOAP request response right out of the box, and but now we have an authentication and encryption going on, authentication being the username password and the encryption being the SSL string. Going on to slide 15. Okay, so here's the SOAP document I was talking about earlier. And this, here, if you go to the bottom of it first, if you see the SOAP ends colon body, if you see the body of the SOAP document, all I've asked for is the system time. Obviously a very cooked example, but in order to do this using authentication, there's a lot of header information that had to be provided to do this. So if you start now at the top of it, there's the namespace settings, the prefixes, things like that. In the header, SOAPENV must understand equals one. We're saying that the server absolutely has to understand this. We can't make a call. You'll see what this means if you try to use this same SOAP document on a non-secure channel. It'll reject it because it doesn't understand the header. In this case, the username for this user was user11, and then user11's password was also put into the header. So there's the credentials. Now these are, you know, clear text credentials. In this example, I've started out what my password was, but the real password is in there as clear text. So it's sitting on your disk as clear text. Probably not a good thing, but that's another security discussion. But we're relying on that SSL channel to encrypt this thing so that on the wire it's not clear text. Now, like I said before, we could have taken this whole document and XML encrypted the document and then sent it up the wire that way. So if we go on to slide 16, here's the SOAP response that comes back. And this SOAP response is coming back down the SSL channel. It has no notion of authenticating with the client at all. It's the same SOAP response that you would see whether you're doing a clear text or not. And it's done something incredibly useful, like told me what time it is on the server. That may or may not be of any use. So going on to slide 17, here's some references. This first reference, the guy who wrote this does a really good job of explaining how this stuff works. And I don't know how long, you know, some information gets lost out in the web. So if you're interested in this, I would go into this document and save it to your hard disk, because it's a really good step-by-step talk about how to do this process. The Info Center, the WebSphere Application Server Info Center, has excellent information on how to set up the server side and the server side mechanisms for this. It's got really good information. It also has some great explanations on the various types of authentication and encryption that can go on. There's also DeveloperWorks tutorial that's very good, and the Web Services Version 6 handbook that's out on the IBM site. That's a great handbook. That's quite long, and it's got a lot of information in it. And then last but not least are the security standards. So the standards that go around the SOAP extensions for security. And when I originally started doing the web services, the security stuff really was bolted on the side of it. It wasn't clear how any of it was going to work at that point in time, and it was a huge weakness. And it's nice to see that that the security aspects of SOAP web services have matured quite a bit. And here's some additional WebSphere product resources on slide number 18. And these are just general references and resources about WebSphere. And, you know, I'm an evangelist. What a great community WebSphere is. It's been really come a long way. So going on to slide 19, that's the end of this presentation. And I'll take any questions if that's okay.
If you have a question at this time, press the star key followed by the digit 1. We do have a question from Chris Sivvy.
Hi. Thanks for the overview. You said you can use a certificate out of the box and without going through that whole setup. Is that how you would do it in a production web service?
Yes, I want to say yes, you would, but you would have to pay for that certificate from a trusted signing authority. But because it's a trusted signing authority, you don't have to go through all of this rigmarole to set this up. Because if you go to VeriSign or somebody like that and get a certificate from them, the JVM's already aware of those trusted authorities. So you basically just put your certificate in place and you should be good to go with that.
Right, but so with a self-signed certificate, though, you'd have to make sure the client has that certificate. And is there a way to distribute that?
Well, if it's browser-based, you won't have to because the browser also trusts the authority. So you can also generate one of these web service clients as a web browser-based thing, and it will work right out of the box with a trusted authority because it also has the trusted authority chain with the browser. For a self-signed cert, you actually do have to take it and distribute it to the client side and let it know because it's going to try and authenticate with a self-signed certificate from the signing authority, Ron Allen, and it's going to go, I don't trust this guy. I don't know who he is. So you basically have to import it in and let it know about it. Let the browser know.
Okay. And the concept of the certificate, last question, then I'll go up, is that it encrypts the username and password that's in the clear. That's why we're doing this.
Well, the username and password are actually encrypted by SSL. The certificate is a mechanism, and it says, if I'm using a server-side certificate, it's the client's able to say, because of this certificate, I trust the server to say to be who they say they are. And if you're using a client-side certificate, then the server is saying, I believe the client is who they say they are. Now, in this case, where we put the certificate at the client side, that was basically because it was self-signed and we had to distribute the information over the client side. So let's say I was using a VeriSign cert, I'm going to make a call to the server. And because it's VeriSign, I'm going to trust the authority and I'm going to get the public key to that into the browser. And this, you know, if you go to a new site, sometimes it'll ask you, do you want to import this key, so on and so forth. And then after that, I'm going to trust it. I'm going to have the public key for that, and I'm going to communicate with the server and believe they are who they say they are.
Right, okay. And does anything have to change on the, when you deploy the web service, if you use the SSL, do you have to do something on the server side when you deploy the actual web service? I mean, can that stay the same?
If you're not using a self-signed cert, as long as it's set up with a SSL port, then you should be fine. So in other words, I could go in there and I could activate global security in a production environment, and I could have gone to Wade or VeriSign or whatever and bought a certificate and then distributed it to the server. And I could now talk SSL between my client and server because I bought a certificate from a trusted authority.
Right. Okay. In other words, it doesn't have anything to do with the generation of the WSDL on the server side. You don't have to do anything special.
No, well, the web service that on the server side, it's the web service is when it gets deployed, it uses the WSDL to convey information. You know, in this model, we're talking about the RPC router servlet is figuring out which beam to make the call to. So it's using the WSDL to do all that sort of mapping during the deployment time.
Right, got it. Okay.
Thanks. Those are good questions.
And there are no further questions at this time. Ms. Chen, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Ron, for a great presentation. And at this time, we'll conclude this exchange. And thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining.